Welcome to the Vegan Business Revolution podcast from Vegan Business Tribe with myself, David Pennell, where each episode I am joined by one of our Vegan Business Tribe members to showcase the width, the breadth, and the diversity of the vegan business scene. Now, unlike our main podcast, this is raw and unfiltered. So, no editing. I'm bringing you the discussion as it's recorded, and we've got a time limit of 20 minutes for this interview. But if you want to read more inspiring interviews, then also check out our new book on Amazon, Vegan Business Revolution, which is a collection of 35 in-depth discussions with vegan business owners that we originally interviewed for Vegan Food and Living magazine, but now published for the first time, all in one place and in their full unabridged form. And today I'm joined by one of our Vegan Business Tribe members, JC De Klerk from Air Safaris 269. And JC, how are you doing today?
Thank you very, thanks for that lovely welcome, David. Can you imagine? And I would like to say I'm one of the first Vegan Tribe members.
Absolutely. JC has been supporting us for so long now. So JC, just tell me in a nutshell and tell our listeners, what is your vegan business?
The vegan business is a Air Safaris 269. Now, everybody's going to say, what has that got to do with veganism? And I say 269, go and Google it. It is all about a calf in Israel that that activists tried to save after it was on its way to a slaughterhouse, and it had a little tag in its ear, 269, and it's become anonymous with the vegan journey and with everybody that's following it. So I decided to Air Safaris 269 because I'm very close to animals, and being a safari operator, I'm all for the animals. So mostly based in Namibia and South Africa. I do a little bit of Botswana. And obviously the whole idea is to expand to somewhere else in all the other Southern African countries. Somebody else is looking after East Africa. But for now, I just want to look after Southern Africa. Namibia is my country. That's where I was born. And what else can I tell you?
That's absolutely brilliant, JJ. I think you've told us everything we need to know for the start. So we're going to delve into this in a little bit more in a minute. And this whole idea of, you know, vegan safaris and air safaris particular. But I'd love to know just more about you first. And I'm really interested to know about your own vegan journey and how that tied with you actually starting a vegan business.
You know, I'm originally from an airline industry. I was an airline pilot in Southeast Asia for about 17 years. And when COVID hit, you know, I've always wanted to have my own little business, a flying safari business. I wanted to combine safaris with the flying side, so where you fly with lighter aircraft. So when COVID hit, you know, I thought this is the chance. If I'm not going to do it now, this is the opportunity. Never thinking what the impact of COVID is going to be. Anyway, sometimes it's good that you just go blind into something and you just do it and you pack up and you use the opportunity. And that's what made us come back to South Africa. And we started this, and it's now we're in our third year, and it's moving in a direction where on every year we learn a little bit more. You know, there's so many safari operators out there in Africa and everybody offering trips to South Africa. But I think it's a unique business, and I can compete with all the big names that are offering safaris and flying safaris. But flying safaris is a little bit more exclusive, obviously, because you're flying with a light aircraft. So it does become, it's in a different area of cost anyway. But, you know, I think I'd like to see, I think being involved with Vegan Business Tribe, I think I've established myself. Big words, I know big words and big things, but I'd like to say I've established myself as the go-to person for vegan safaris. You know, I mean, if you now go and Google vegan safaris, my company comes up. And so we are definitely making a stand. I think the suppliers are starting to get to know us. They know what we're all about. And you can almost see, as a result, I'd like to say, as a result of us, all the lodges and all these safari operators are having to think about offering services to vegans at the same time.
Well, I'm just going to jump in on something you said in your intro there as well, because you said with your Air Safaris, you're kind of looking after Southern Africa and there's somebody else looking after East Africa. And I think some people will be surprised to learn there is actually a thriving vegan travel industry.
Yes, there definitely is a thriving vegan industry. But I think what happens in the safari industry, you have exclusive lodges that always, you know, they have the top chefs. They have the they're really given a complete experience. I'm saying that there are operators and there are lodges out there that the lodges don't know enough about veganism itself. And so the big lodges and the big names, they're already doing it just because of the clientele that comes to them. But I'm saying they are clientele that I can take to places where they've never been before. And I want to introduce those places to them, but I want to introduce the lodges to the vegans out there to say, listen, you need to start thinking about it. Let's put the two together. Let's start thinking one step ahead of what we're trying to achieve and what our values are, and make people conscious that you're looking at this beautiful Africa with all its animals at the moment and all its wild game at the same time. But why are we not looking after it in the next step? And I say, let's introduce veganism to it. Let's the lodges actually get to know vegan people and see what they're all about. Sometimes it's not only just about the food, it's about what we stand for and what we want. And those are the two connections that I want to bring together.
Because there really is a disconnect, isn't there, between, you know, people going to somewhere like Africa, seeing these amazing animals in the place where they're meant to be, not in a zoo, you know, out there in the wild, and then going back to a lodge and then eating animals. There just seems to be a real disconnect at those two things. That kind of leap isn't made in people's minds.
And it's sad. It's very sad. You know, I just last week I was in a lodge. No, not last week. Maybe 2 weeks ago I was in a lodge. You know, and people are taking. They've got these beautiful Zoom cameras, and it's amazing. And I even steal some of their photographs. I share some of them, but they so quickly when you get back into the lodge after a beautiful game drive, you get back into the lodge, and you walk in, and then they present the menu, and then there's oryx, and then there's this, and then there's this. And I said, but I mean, how can you not make the connection? You've just taken the photograph of a majestic animal in the wild. Why not leave it like that? Because there are other alternatives. But you know, you also have to help the lodge owners and the operators. You have to educate them as well, because I think they also have a disconnect. So if once you get once they make the connection, then they can start offering different menus and keep these wild animals for starters, keep the wild animals off the menu. You know, I'm glad to say keep all the animals off the table, but that's a bit of pushing it at the moment. But with a vegan in the room, it quickly circles in the room in the dining area. Those people are vegan. Not that people want to attract them, but they can see the food. And if you present a beautiful plate of food, and if you present, if you go into your room and there's, you've taken off the trophies and you've taken off the skins of the animal skins off the floor, then immediately there's a different experience. And then people can say, wow, okay, I see what you mean. This is what you're all about. This is why we're doing this. And immediately the lights go on, and then more people start talking about it. Then the menu starts. And then the language when you go on a game drive, the language that the guides use, they're sensitive to this. They understand that because of the people that are on the vehicle. And that's little steps that we can take. And that's why I say a lot of people are offering vegan safaris. Absolutely. But let's start making the connection with regular visits.
Let me just pick up on one thing you said there about it's maybe a push too much to get some of these places to completely remove animals from the menu. So do you get pushback from this? I mean, what is the vegan scene like in Southern Africa? Do they even understand the vegan scene? Is there a word for it?
You know, they can't understand it. You know, I'm mentioning my beautiful country, Namibia. It's, you know, it's meat five times a day. You have meat for breakfast. You meet there's always some animal on the plate somewhere in your meal every day. So they cannot really understand it. They can't put the two together, because certain animals are just a commodity. They do not want to put the two together, and it's quite sad. So I don't want to say there's pushback. I think they respect it. They do a little bit like this, and but you know, you have to have a thick skin about it because but people do want to hear. They will do that, but then they still want to hear. And that's good. I love that because when I can go into somebody's fridge and say into the chef's fridge and because that's the beauty thing. You arrive at these lodges and the guy says, and I say, and I'm usually one of the guy, if I'm the pilot, obviously, and the guide, I say to the chef and I say, listen, I'm a vegan. Immediately you can see there's a little bit of a startle effect, but they are so keen to learn. They will go into the they will go the every all every lodge has a computer. They go into the computer and they will see, because that's now a challenge. Because for all his meals for the whole week, he's been told what to serve and what to cook. Now he has free range, you know what I mean? And that gives you can almost see the enjoyment of a chef coming to, and he brings presents the meal to me and he says he's made this for me. And everybody around the room says, hey, what is that? Because they all get, I'm getting different food, you see. And then the conversation starts. But you can almost see the pride in the chef, the creation that he's just created, something that he had to think outside the box, and he's made something interesting, except just a fruit salad for me, you see.
Absolutely amazing. So, JC, what plane do you take people up in?
Okay, so we have different size of planes, David. I've got a It depends how many people want to come. If you're just two of you, we go on a little six-seater, and a six-seater, but doesn't really mean all the seats are available always. On some of the seats we put maybe a bag, whatever. So up to three people, we go in a six-seater, and then and anything more than three passengers or three visitors, we go into a 10-seater aircraft or about an eight-seater aircraft. And that gives you, it's all unpressurized, so you're flying low over the African scenery. And then so we go from lodge from one lodge to another, we fly, and then you do road safari when you're at the lodge. You go and experience the area where you've just landed, and that's so six seaters and eight seaters, and when you're at a lodge, I'm trying to get into a little bit of a different market. I want to try and get people out into the real wild, real safari, where you do a bit of walking safaris. And it's easier to fly people from the main area to a remote area. Instead of driving there by car, I want to fly you there, and then you can go and do everything on the ground and do your road safari and do your walking safari and do all the other stuff. And then we fly to another place. So flying is just to because everybody nowadays don't have a lot of holidays. So you can drive if you have to, if you have a whole month available to yourself, then drive. I want you to drive because that's how you see the country. But if you have a limited holiday, come and fly, because we can see so much more, and you've got the extra beauty of flying over this beautiful African scenery.
And that's absolutely amazing, and especially with you as the guide, because you are an ex-airline pilot, and you know this is your country as well. So that's going to be such an amazing experience for people get. But do you find that just vegans are coming to talk to you and to book with you, or do you get inquiries from non-vegans too?
On my website, I've adapted on my website. One of my frequently asked questions, I said, "Do we only cater to vegans?" And I say, "Absolutely not." Majority of my trips. At the moment, majority of my trips have all been non-vegans. But you know, I'm saying what is happening is, and this is what I'm sensing, is that people are inquiring on vegan safaris because of sustainability, ethical side of it. So people want to come with us because they know that we're in a different category, that we are thinking about what we are busy doing, and that's why people are coming. So it's not only vegans, and I encourage everybody to come and visit. When you come and visit, I'm going to show you my favorite places. So it's a little bit of I'm branding myself as this person, but I'm saying come with me so that I can show you the pearls that you're not going to usually see when. I don't want to say to my competitors that they're doing, but everybody, you know, I've got a unique service that I try and build a relationship with you before you even arrive in Africa. I want to hear what you actually want to see. What haven't you seen? What do you want to see? What's your experience? And then Maybe tell me a little bit about your budget, because maybe you really want to see everything, but maybe you just want to see the necessary, and I can cater to your needs. But I'm in the process of now that I'm thinking that I need to put some package tours together, because I think a lot of people out there don't really know about safaris and they don't really know how to start. But if I break it down and I tell you, this is we going on that day, and this is what I'll be gonna do, and give you the choice, do you want to join me or not? Instead of going through the whole relationship of telling you, where do you want to go in Africa? What do you want to see? You know what I mean? So
And I think that's what you find with many vegan businesses, that some people say they want to set up a vegan business to serve vegans. But I always say that if you have a vegan business and you're just selling to vegans, you've kind of missed the point of having a vegan business in the first place. There are so many people out there that you can influence who are pre-vegans, who aren't vegans yet with a vegan company. And those people are interested in buying vegan products and services. Exactly for what you're saying. A lot of people now see veganism as just a way of being a way of being sustainable and just being, reduce your climate impact and things like that too. So people are very happy to engage with vegan products when they're not vegan themselves.
It's quite amazing. You know, when I go with non-vegans on a trip, it's actually quite beautiful to see. You know, the other day I was on a quite a big group of about 10 people, and it was amazing. You know, by the end of it was on a 10-day trip, and by it was quite by half when we passed 5 days, you can almost see people are not because of respect for me, it's because of the food that I'm getting, and they look at what I stand for. So the conversation that they're having when we go out and to do a game draft, you can almost see naturally how people are ordering vegan food. It's amazing. It's beautiful. It's almost as though suddenly the consciousness has come in. It's kicked in, and that's beautiful. So if that's how we're going to win this world, then why not?
And I'm guessing also with that, it's going to be the cultures that you're interacting with as well, the local community. They're going to be picking up on that too.
Yes, absolutely. A lot of people say, "Yeah, Africa is just all about meat," even in the real rural areas, in the real remote areas, and that's partially true, because you can carry a you can walk a goat for how many months, and then eventually you can use that you that goat is has got purposes lot more than what we can think of, that we just go into a store and what we can buy. But on average, most of these people living really remotely are actually vegan. They're actually living on vegan food. They just don't know. That's just not a concept to them.
But don't know if there's a word for it. Yeah.
Yeah, there's no such word, but they're actually living it. So if we can take people right into these people, their cultures, then you'll see the difference, and they almost shine. But they don't really make much of it, because they're saying, "Why are you making it so special? This is what we do, you know."
Yeah, brilliant. So we're coming close to time now. So I want to finish just by asking you a little bit about what you've learned on your journey, because it is incredibly difficult sometimes to get a business off the ground, literally getting off the ground in your case. But what have you learned? What's your one piece of advice that you give to others maybe running a vegan business?
I've listened to quite an interesting podcast recently,
I
and
hope it was mine, JC.
it was a sorry, David. It was about business. Yes, it's Vegan Business Tribe, but I think it was something completely with business and where we're in our journey. So I think there's often a time where you think, "Oh, how are we going to do this? How?" But you have to keep on changing where what needs to be done. You have this idea that this is what you want to do, and I'm in a place now where I'm really thinking I need to change strategy a little bit, because it's a very difficult industry to be in. But it's only difficult because, like any other industry, is because you haven't found that what people really need. Once you find what that people really need, you can sell them what they really need based on what you're selling, you see. So I'm in that place now. I'm always thinking, okay, let's try this now. We're in our third year now. How am I going to do this now? But it's an amazing journey, because in the process you learn about yourself, And what the beauty is with vegan, with a vegan business, I think you learn even more because you have to involve yourself in every other, on all other vegan businesses, and you have to collaborate with them, and you have to get that network straight because those are the network, that's the network that you need to tap into for them to come to you. Just like they want to be in my world, I want to be in their world, and we can stand together and we can all do it together, you know.
Perfect. We're bang on 20 minutes. So finally, JC, if more people want to find out about Air Safaris 269 or maybe even book a safari, where did they go?
AirSafaris269.com. You can come and look for me. You can do, when you go into Instagram, you just type vegan safaris. Immediately, my Instagram comes up. You can go to Facebook. You type in again vegan safaris, or and immediately my Facebook page comes up as well. I somehow managed to get those names, and then I'm on LinkedIn at the same time. And we have also got a podcast, and the podcast is called That Vegan Safari Guy. So come and look, come and listen to the chats that I have.
Absolutely brilliant. You have cornered the marketplace. So thank you, JC. This has been an absolutely, I've got to say, it's been a brilliant discussion. And remember, if you are looking for more great business advice, you can also catch our main Vegan Business Tribe podcast, and that's on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, or wherever you get your pods. And also go check out our book, Vegan Business Revolution, which is available on Amazon. And if you want to be part of an amazing community of vegan business owners where you can meet people just like JC, then do consider joining our Vegan Business membership community over on veganbusinesstribe.com. And JC, just to put you on the spot there, what's the best thing about being part of Vegan Business Tribe?
It's just the community. The community and people like yourself, with always with guidance. There's always somebody to hold your hand. There's always somebody to provide, give you encouragement. That's the best part of it.
Oh, thank you, JC. So thank you so much for joining us today, and I'll see you on the next one.